Guys, today we're going to be talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder, looking back at their surprising 19-20 season, what that means for the offseason, what that means for the future for the players on their roster. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball today. As I said, we're looking at the Oklahoma City Thunder and you guys had questions, chuck them in over on Instagram and on Twitter. And of course, you can do that for every show. Tomorrow's show, we're going to be looking at the Denver Nuggets, so if you have questions about them, check out the Instagram story and check out the question over on Twitter so that you can get your questions on and read on the show. All right, question. A lot of questions about this bloke as well. Higa Nation on Instagram says, do you ever have hope, or do you have hope that Nerlens Noel can ever be more than a stocks specialist for fantasy? Number one, hate the term stocks. I read it out because it was in your question. I just hate it. I hate it. I just despise using it. So therefore, can he be like steals more than a steals and block specialist? That is how I would refer to that. This is nothing against you, Higa Nation, because I know people do it. This is just me being pedantic. No, I like Noel. I've liked him for a while. I just think that where he is in his career, he's going to be 27, about halfway through next season. He's really, really effective in his role. I don't ever see teams banking on him being their starting center and doing much more than that. Now, if he was to become a starting center, his fantasy value would go through the roof because he would get two steals, two blocks, eight rebounds, 12 points, 70% field goal, like huge, huge numbers. I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think he can hold up for that long a period of time, and no team would want to rely upon him for that sort of a role. But he's excellent in the role that he provides. And that's where we use him. He was almost a top 100 player this year, playing 18 minutes a night. That's amazing. And we know that he is one of the best per-minute players in the entire NBA for fantasy. I just don't see a team giving him those minutes to push that even further. Do the Thunder, Roundhound 22 says, do the Thunder tear it down and rebuild or try and run it back? I'm almost certain they're going to tear it down. The exit of Billy Donovan would give us that impression that Donovan didn't want to be around for a rebuild. Interestingly, he went to a significantly worse team in the Chicago Bulls. I'm not sure what that says about him and his decision-making abilities. But I would imagine that they are looking to tear it down somewhat. The Italian cock, Danilo Gallinari. I'll play the drop later, don't worry. He's gonna move on in free agency, most likely. It appears that Chris Paul could be traded. To where, I don't know. You keep hearing the Knicks, but do we keep hearing the Knicks because it's the Knicks and they just love throwing their name out there? I've heard the Bucks. I could see Paul going anywhere. I think that a pretty significant, and that's really what it is. It's those two guys who are moving on. They're the two 30-pluses. Then you got Adams, who's 27, and Schroeder, who's 27. So they're really the guys that you'd look at. It is Paul and Gallinari, and Gallinari's a free agent, so he probably is out of there. So I do think that they are going to be rebuilding it. N Sadler 29, what's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's ceiling if CP3 is traded? Is it top 50? Well, yes, clearly. He was the 54th ranked player this year, so he can get much better than that. He averaged only 3.3 assists per game. That would jump up pretty significantly. He's never going to be a 9 assists per game player, I wouldn't have thought. But 6, 6.5, 7, easily 19 points to 21 points very comfortably. He's only 22. Yeah, his ceiling is probably top 20, I would say, in a few years' time. Maybe not for next year. Next year, there is a risk that he was overdrafted if Paul gets traded, but I think third round would be pretty comfortable for Shai. Noah Corasaniti. Who's my favorite OKC player? It's Shai pretty comfortably. I liked what we saw from Bazley at times. I wouldn't say he's my favorite player, but it is. It's comfortably Shai. Close second, Terrence Ferguson. And of course, I'm talking shit because it's nowhere near Terrence Ferguson. He is absolute garbage at this point in his career. Will Terrence Ferguson be terrible enough to earn... N. Wani Ogbu. Will Terrence Ferguson be terrible enough to earn the nickname Turd Ferguson? he is terrible enough. He said that nickname's from Saturday Night Live. I don't watch it, so I'm not as big a fan on using the nicknames, or I don't have any idea of the reference. But he's definitely Turdish when he's out there. So if you want to call him that, by all means. Okay. The Egg Channel says, I think they need defense. They should trade for a shooter and a defender like Jay Crowder. Well, Crowder's an unrestricted free agent, so they can just go and sign him. They're going to need a replacement for Danilo Gallinari. But again, I don't think they're necessarily looking to be super competitive next season. They're not going to be trash, of course. And that spot that's being held by Gallinari at the moment, that would be what they would hope Darius Bazley would just slide into. So I don't think they necessarily want to hinder his development in that area. Frank Nuege, what does the future core consist of 3 to 5 years from now? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Lugans Dort, and I think we're getting a little bit carried away on Dort, to be honest. Had some really strong moments in the playoffs. I think he's going to be their starting three next season and moving forward. 29 minutes a game in that series against the Rockets. Only played the 6 games, but once he came in, he was pretty good. He's got a long way to go. He's not a good shooter. He provides pretty good defense, but for fantasy, he's not very strong at all. He doesn't put up huge, huge numbers, and I wouldn't be labeling him, well, now we've got our wings locked down now because Dort is there. He can be a strong rotational piece. I think he's going to be solid enough, but I wouldn't say he's your core. Your core is Shai. That's where you're at, and then your core is in the millions of draft picks that you've got coming, and as you get worse, you start getting more lottery selections yourself as well. So while Shai, I think that probably Bazley will end up being better than Dort, yeah, over the next 2-3 years, but I think we're just maybe getting a little bit ahead of ourselves with Dort. T. Channis has an interesting question. Is Dort good? It's a hard one. Good? Maybe. Is he okay? I think he's pretty good. I think he can. He's only 21, so he's not super old, despite the undrafted status. He feels like he's a 24-year-old rookie who's only 21. The shooting is a massive worry, as every single wing on this team seems to have been over the history of time. Is he Andre Robertson? Is he Thabo Sefolosha? I think that's the level of player we're looking at, which is trash for fantasy in general. Dort maybe can provide more offensively. I think he's got some steps to go in his game offensively there. I wouldn't say he's good yet. I'd say he's average at this point, with the potential to turn into good, but never to turn into great, would be my guess. Jamar Norick, what do you predict will be the game plan regarding playing vets and giving new players minutes? Look, that is not. I just don't think they're going to have many of these, you know, vets that they bring in, and the guys they bring in will be players who are 8th, 9th, 10th men, and the focus will be on Gilgeous-Alexander, it will be on Schroeder, it will be on Bazley, it will be on Dort. I think that'll be the focus of these guys. They don't have the greatest draft pick coming up, and in fact, where are they picking in this draft? Pick 25, so they're not going to get a huge rotation piece there. But there is, you know, I think that your team is just going to be, yeah, it's going to be, let's get Shai minutes, let's get Bazley minutes, let's get Dort minutes. Adams will be there. Schroeder will get his 30 plus. So you're still going to have those young guys getting that value. Fred Mano, what is Gallinari's value if he stays with OKC? Well, Gallinari this season was, let's have a look where he was. He was the 73rd ranked player. He's 32 years of age. He played 30 minutes a night. He averaged 19 points. If he does stay, which I think is unlikely at this point, no reason to think it couldn't be very, very similar to what he did this year. I think he'd be almost at the exact same area in that 65 to 85 range. I don't think we get too much of a drop off coming from your mate, the Italian cock. Now, Built Bar, they don't taste like Italian cock. That's a terrible segue. But they do taste like the best tasting protein bar you will ever find. There's 6 new flavors with Built Bar: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp, to go with the original 12 flavors, including raspberry, salted caramel, orange, and coconut. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they are soft and easy to chew. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. How good is that? They are great if you are looking to be a health conscious person and looking to get that protein without tasting protein bars that taste like absolute garbage. The Cherry Barcia Bar, new bar in the Built Bar range, 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar. And if you go to builtbar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. So the promo code is LOCKEDON and you get 20% off at builtbar.com. Let's now have a look at the questions that did come through over on the old Bird app, over on Twitter. Let's start it off with Matt Lawson at NBA Dynasty ADP. Loves his Dynasty ADPs, Matty does. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 22. Am I buying or selling these dynasty ADPs? Gilgeous-Alexander at 22 is a little aggressive. Can he beat that number? I'd say there's probably a 50% chance he beats that number at some point in the next 4 or 5 years. It's no guarantee. I think he probably will, so I'd probably buy it, but you are expecting an improvement from where he was this season. Chris Paul at 71, well, Paul will smash that number next season. He'll probably smash it the year after, and then it will drop off. I think that absolutely, if Chris Paul is sitting there at 71, I'll just go all in and win in the first 2 years, because that is giving you a massive leg up to win in the next 2 seasons, so I love it. The Italian cock, Danilo Gallinari.
Hands off my cock!
Told you I'd play it. He's at 117 for his dynasty ADP. He is 32. I'd still buy it. Yeah, getting him at 116 gives me a couple of years of value there. Steven Adams at 119. His value has fallen in the absolute toilet. People were talking about Adams as a top 40 player. I saw somebody last year, I don't remember who it was. Maybe I'm misremembering this. That's had him as a third round player. Russell Westbrook's gone. He's going to have a usage spike. He'll grab all the rebounds. He'll be a third round center, which was obviously laughable at the time. But he just took a massive, massive step backwards. He had injury problems which bothered him, but he just wasn't the same player. 119, though, is a long way down. Now, that is, in saying that, Adams was 111th this season. He's only 27. He can be better than that. I would buy that all day, even though if I don't think his fantasy upside is all that high. Dennis Schroeder at 120. Well, Schroeder was the 86th ranked player this season, and there's a real chance that if Paul is traded, he just steps into an even larger role. So yeah, I'd buy that at 121. Noel at 155, 103rd player this season in 18 minutes. I'd buy it at 155. And Bazley at 156. Well, Bazley was a 323rd ranked player this season. In the bubble regular season games, he was the 116th ranked player. In the playoffs, he was the 97th ranked player. So do I buy it at 156? Every day. He looks super impressive after struggling for big chunks of the season. And Dort at 202. Let's play the Dort one as well.
Bort? Oh, come on, Bort?
Mommy, Mommy, buy me a license plate!
No, come along, Bort.
Are you talking to me?
No, my son is also named Bort.
Dort was 176th in the bubble seeding games. And that was before he really blew up. So, yeah, beats that number. In the playoffs, with 16 teams playing, he was 120th ranked player. And in the season, he was 318th in those limited minutes. Would I buy him at 200? Absolutely. I think he can have top 170 seasons. I think he can have top 150 seasons. Top 50 is probably a long way out of his reach. But I think nearly all of these appear to be buys. And Shai, weirdly enough, is maybe the one where I'm a little bit hesitant on. Lots of Noel questions, lots of Shai questions. Jonathan Chown says, with the Thunder reportedly headed for a rebuild, which young guys are you frothing to add in Dynasty? Now, I answer this question because I tweeted yesterday, yeah, who's frothing to get back into mock drafts? I think that's, well, not I think, I know that that's an Australian-only phrase. And Jonathan was like, what the hell does frothing mean? So then he's used it correctly in a sentence. I'm giving him props for using it. Frothing just means you're overly excited, that you're foaming at the mouth. But instead of saying frothing, you say frothing. I don't know why that's an Australian lexicon thing. Anyway, who am I frothing to add in Dynasty? It's Bazley. Obviously Shai, but he's not going to be available. Bazley's the guy that I'm really looking to. Got a huge opportunity, and I liked what I saw from him this season. Here's a question from Pat Mumba at Pat LaRocco. Says, are they better keeping Adams or trading him away? Well, as always with these things, you're trading him away. What the hell are you getting for him? Like, that's the thing. Do they need more draft picks? At this point, I think that getting more draft picks is actually counterintuitive, because can you actually find enough roster spots or development time for the millions of picks that are coming in? I'm not sure that that's the best move. He's 27. Now, if you get back another high-value player, sure, centers can be replaceable. I think it all comes down to value. I wouldn't be adverse to them trading him away, but also don't think that it's a guarantee that they move on from him. And Mr. Lewis, can we get the Gallo hands off my cock drop? Well, Mr. Lewis, you just did. Guys, I don't know how to sensitively transition into this one, because we just talked about Danilo Gallinari, and that seems to be the way that we're transitioning into all these ad reads. But erectile dysfunction, it can be hard. Actually, with erectile dysfunction, it's not as hard as we'd like. Sometimes, men, we just brush it off. Hey, it's a hard day at work. Guys, well, I'm under stress. I've lost my mojo. This never happened to me before, baby, I promise. All of this sort of stuff. But erectile dysfunction is a real medical condition. A healthy life includes a healthy sex life. But if you struggle with erectile dysfunction, you might not feel like your best self. And if you want help with ED, Roman can connect you with a real licensed healthcare professional who can prescribe you the medicine you need. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. And getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/lockedon and you can complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to talk about, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to getroman.com/lockedon to get up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free 2-day shipping. That's getroman.com/lockedon for up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment. Getroman.com/lockedon.
Giggity.
All right, let's now look at these players in more detail on the Oklahoma City Thunder. All right. If my screen would ever update here, I don't know what's going on with the old YouTube and the video today. Screens are going super, super slow, but it'll come eventually. There we go. Chris Paul is the first player we're going to talk about. He was, amazingly, the 22nd ranked player. He missed one game during the season, which is amazing for a bloke that never going to touch him because he misses a ton of games. Now, I don't think that this is indicative of his future, that he's going to be completely healthy for every season ever again. But his ADP was 36. He was going in the 40s in drafts because of that risk. And he's definitely getting traded. They're going to manage his minutes. He's going to be load managing. Obviously, none of that was true. So when people come out with definites, this is definitely happening, definitely getting traded, definitely sitting out games, you just got to always be careful of that. I very rarely talk in definites. I talk in most likelies, but potential of things that can and won't happen. And yeah, that can burn people. Now, expecting Chris Paul to play every game again is probably fraught with danger. But he could move on to a really good team if he's traded. Maybe he does end up in Milwaukee. And they play him only 29 minutes a night as they play everyone. Yeah, those limited minutes. And that's going to hurt him. He only played 32 minutes a night for the Thunder. He averaged 18, 5, and 7. Now, 7 assists from Chris Paul is ridiculously low. And he still was the 22nd ranked player. He shot unbelievably. 37 from 3, 55 from 2, 91% from the line for a true shooting of 61%. PIPM through the absolute roof. Raptor 3.6. Just huge numbers from Chris Paul. I think this will probably be the best ever season he has from here on out in terms of fantasy ranks. I just, he's getting older and there might be some minute limits and there might be some games missed. I think expecting this from Paul is probably not going to be the realistic outcome, but he was amazing. And I think we've got to acknowledge just how good Chris Paul was this season. Next up is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the 54th ranked player. He was a big positive in Raptor and PIPM, plus one in both of those. 57 true shooting, really, in his first season in a big role. Tons of minutes, 35 minutes a night, 19, 6, and 3, 1.2 threes, 1.1 steals, 47 and 81. So there's a couple of things that he can improve on. He's a very low-volume three-point shooter, just 3.6 per game. He's shooting them okay, 35%, but he's not a good three-point shooter because the volume is not combined with the efficiency. That's an area to improve. The assists, that will improve when... I would assume that improves if he's given that opportunity. But also remember, if Chris Paul is traded, Dennis Schroeder just likely becomes the starting point guard. It doesn't necessarily mean that Shai becomes that starting point guard. But what it does is it does give him an opportunity to be a point guard at times. Whereas last season, it was either Paul or it was Schroeder. It just wasn't Shai really at all. So, yeah, while Schroeder might start and you go, oh, that's shit for Gilgeous-Alexander, it does at least give him the opportunity to run some units himself. Whereas last season, given those other players were there, he just didn't really have that... He didn't really have that ability, and I think that's something that's worth looking at for him because if he doesn't have that ability, if he doesn't have that that opportunity to run the team, which he didn't with those guys around, then that is going to keep that number low. So that is something to look at, even if Schroeder is the guy that steps in and becomes the starter. I think that. Shai's value moving forward is quite high. I don't think it's as high as some people believe, but he can be a 20-point per game guy with 6 rebounds, maybe 6 assists, maybe 1.7 steals. The key there is going to be getting to 2 threes and keeping the efficiency, but he is by far the best prospect on this team at this point. Who knows what they do in future drafts. The Italian cock, one more time.
Hands off my cock!
Dino Gallinari was the 73rd ranked player. He was a massive 1.67 PIPM and 2.7 in Raptor. True shooting at 61%. He averaged 19 points. He hit 3 threes. He had 5 boards. In true Gallinari style, He did nothing with assists, steals, or blocks, but he got to the line quite a bit. He hit almost 90% of his free throws. He hit 41% of his threes. He was a strong scorer on 25 usage. He was really, really good. I thought he could be better. I thought he'd be a 20-point-per-game scorer, but I didn't expect Schroeder to be as good as he was. Gallinari, I think, is going to have a bit of a dip next season. I think that he'll go to a team where maybe that usage isn't quite as high as what it was this season. And he was sort of healthy. He played, I think he missed 9 games during this season, which is not terrible, but it's not ideal. There is a risk that he struggled in his first season with the Clippers in terms of fitting in, so maybe that's a problem. It obviously wasn't a problem for him with the Thunder. It's still going to come down to what happens to him and what his role is going to be and what his usage looks like, because he does rely a lot on scoring and three-point shooting. And if those things aren't in the same volume, then his value is going to drop off. And he is 32 years of age, so there is going to be some fall-off from Gallinari in the coming seasons. I still think he can be quite useful next season and maybe even the year after. But next year is going to be the best of the best for the remaining seasons of Gallinari's career. Next up is Dennis Schroeder, who was a huge surprise. He had an ADP of 138 and ended up 86th. I didn't expect him to play 31 minutes a night, coming off the bench behind Paul and Gallinari, Gildas Alexander. They were using three-guard rotations or three-guard lineups a lot, which I didn't expect. And Schroeder, who'd been a pretty big negative in big portions of his career, was a positive this year. Now, when he didn't play with Chris Paul and Shea, he was a huge negative, and that gives me some worry as to if he is put into a starting point guard role, how's he going to go? But he averaged 19 points, 4 assists and 2 threes, shot 39% from 3, 84 from the line, 47 from the field. He was a plus 0.3 PIPM and 1.4 Raptor, 58 true shooting, like really strong numbers. I think that he's going to be a top 100 player next season, because I imagine Paul is gone and that 31 minutes goes to 33 minutes and he gets that 4 assists to 6 assists. I think he can do that. And then after that, though, I think that it could be a nice spike for his value for 1 year, and then I reckon it might fall off a little bit after that, and then he's going to be consigned to being a 22, 23 minute a night backup point guard. But he was a huge surprise. I didn't think could be as good as what he was this year. I still have my concerns about how long it lasts, but now, he was impressive, and he was able to, resurrect his career, because he was trash as a starter for the Atlanta Hawks. He put up some numbers, but in terms of being a good player, he wasn't that. So this is going to be a test to how he can do it without Chris Paul there. Not that Chris Paul's gone, because Chris Paul's still around at this point, but the likelihood is that Paul is gone, and a team that's worse without Paul and Gallinari, which seems to be the likelihood of this squad, can Schroeder carry them? And I'd say the answer to that is no, but I'm not completely discounting him, because he was able to put up some pretty good numbers this year. Nerlens Noel, the interesting one, 103rd ranked player, 18 minutes, 7.5 points with 5 boards, but a steal and 1.5 blocks in 18 minutes is ridiculous. 68 from the field, 76 from the line, and that's always been a problem for Noel, hitting free throws. He got that turned around. A true shooting of a whopping 71%. He was a marginal positive in PIPM and Raptor. That's impressive coming off the bench and playing mostly with bench units. So he was really impactful. But like I said earlier, I don't really see teams saying, well, we want Nerlens to be our starter. If he goes to a team where the starting center is perhaps injury-prone or a limited minutes guy, and Noel can get 25 minutes a night, then shit, he's going to absolutely smash. Is he worthy of a standard league draft spot next year? I don't hate it. He was obviously a standard league player this year in just 18 minutes a game. Could he go somewhere and play 20 minutes a game? Maybe. In the 7 games that he started, he played 26 minutes a night. He averaged 12 and 6 with over 2 blocks on against 69% shooting.
Giggity!
Now, the steal numbers did drop off in those starts for whatever reason that was, but he was able to put up some really strong numbers. Hit his free throws as well. The query I have there is his free throws, which had been a problem over the course of his career. They did revert towards the end of the season. They did fall back. And in the bubble, in those bubble games, he shot to 63% in 19 minutes and was nowhere near as effective in that time. And in the playoffs, similarly, he played only 14 minutes and wasn't really able to register anything that remotely resembled fantasy rankings or fantasy value. So the worry I have here with Noel is, I think he's probably worth looking at as a back-end guy. So much is going to depend, because he's an unrestricted free agent, what team he goes to. I think there is a real risk that people go, well, he was the 100th ranked player this year. He played 18 minutes. He's going to another team. Someone will overvalue it. He'll play 25 here. They just signed him. They like him. He's really, really good. But there is a chance that that high steal rate, that high block rate, that high efficiency, the free throws, even the usage can all drop off. We saw that in the bubble seeding games. We saw that in the playoff games, that he just wasn't able to produce anywhere near that same level. And, you know, throughout the course of his career, last year for OKC, he played 14 minutes a night, and he was the 190th ranked player. The year before for Dallas, he played 16 minutes a night, and he was the 192nd ranked player. But then the year before that, he played 20 minutes a night and was the 81st ranked player. So the value is all over the shop, and it all comes down to what happens with his block numbers and his steal numbers. That's really all it's about, and then how many minutes do we get. He also took his field goal percentage from 59 up to 67%. And that feels unlikely to stick at that high of a level. So I reckon there might be a bit of Nerlens Noel drop-off coming. So just be aware of that. Next up on the list, we've got Steve Adams, who did struggle at times. Only 27 minutes a night for Adams, which is well below where he'd been in the past. Now, some of that is because he struggled. Some of that is because Nerlens Noel played well. And some of that's because Adams was injured. But as I said, he's only like 6 months older than Nerlens Noel, which I think some people would be surprised to know. He averaged 11-9 with a block per game on 59% shooting. But as always, he's a shit-ass free throw shooter. He was just 57% from the line, which is actually an improvement from where he was the year before. But the year before, he played 33 minutes a night, and 33 the year before that, and averaged 14 points. And without Russell Westbrook and Paul George, somehow his scoring went down, even with a marginal uptick in usage. He's never a high blocks guy. He's never a high assist guy. His rebounds, which again, some posited would really go through the roof without Westbrook, they went up, but they, in terms of pure numbers, they stayed exactly the same. But his per 36 rebounds went from 10 to 12.6. But he just wasn't able to back it up with minutes. I don't really know where we're at with Adams. His positive PIPM and Raptor were strong. 62 shooting is a pretty good number. I would expect somewhat of a bounce back for Steve Adams this season, and I think he jumps back into that top 100. And I think that there's a real chance that he's healthy and he plays 29, 30 minutes and looks a lot better. We still don't know who the coach of this team is. Let's remember that. So we don't know what their idea is. Maybe they do trade Adams while he's got some currency. But again, this was his worst season in a long time. So maybe you look to trade him at the trade deadline. I still think that he's a pretty strong starting caliber center in the NBA. And I think there might be, he might be a little bit of a bargain player. He's not going to be a top 50 guy, would be my guess. But he doesn't need to be a top 50 guy to bring back value from where he was this season. Let's look at Lugans Dort now, who, of course...
Bort? Oh, come on, Bort?
Mommy, Mommy, buy me a license plate!
No, come along, Bort.
Are you talking to me?
No, my son is also named Bort.
Now, Lugans Dort was obviously a player who was a big name in the bubble. The James Harden stopper. The Rockets in that playoff series were leaving him all the way alone, and he was going out there and he was hitting threes at an okay rate at times. Now, I think some of what he did is perhaps a little bit overrated, because if we look at him in the playoffs, again, he was 120th ranked player. He shot 36% from the field and 26% from three. He did average 12.5 points because he was getting up 8 threes a game, and he hit 2 of them. He was no doubt taking those shots because they were making him take those shots. You need a usage of 24%. An ideal offense and roster construction does not allow Lugans Dort to have a usage of 24%, which is higher than Danilo Gallinari, is higher than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That was basically what the Rockets were giving them, but that's poor game planning, and when you're that inefficient, that shouldn't be what's happening. He did block a shot per game, which is really, really impressive in 29 minutes, but only 0.3 steals. And I'm not sure that how good he is as a fantasy producer. I think he can be a good defender, but the shooting's always going to be a holdback. He'll never get that level of usage. He's not going to be a passer. He's not a strong rebounder. And I'm not sure he's ever going to be that guy that gets us these big types of defensive stats. So there is a real risk to me that he's a little bit overvalued. Maybe I'm wrong with that, but I don't know. I just feel there is a little bit of a concern with where he's at where people are at with his value. I just think, I don't know. It's hard because he was that name. Man, Lu Dort, look at all these threes he's hitting. But he wasn't hitting them at any sort of positive rate. And that was some poor coaching, I think, to allow him to just take this many shots, and it did impact. Now, in the G League, he scored 20 points per game. He averaged a steal, 0.8 blocks. He shot 33% from three on high volume. So that's encouraging to see that. His usage, if I can bring that up, 24% in the G League as well. But that's not what you want him doing in the NBA. So there is some concern there. I think he's still a long way away from his peak, and he's going to get better, and he's going to have top 200 seasons. But pushing forward, I'm not sure he's a foundational piece. I could be wrong on that, but I think there's a little bit of overvaluing here of Dort happening. Darius Bazley, 323rd ranked player, 19 minutes a night in the regular season. He's only just turned 20. He averaged 6-4. He shot just 39% with 69 from the line.
Giggity!
And that's not super impressive. 0.7 blocks is okay in 19 minutes. In fact, it's pretty bloody good in 19 minutes. So I think that Bazley, he started to play well as the season went on. Now, his advanced numbers are rough. Negative 2.5 PIPM, negative 1.2 Raptor with under 50 true shooting and 15 usage. But let's look at what he did in the bubble games. 116th ranked player in the seeding games, 28 minutes, 13-6, 2.5 threes, 0.8 blocks. Absolutely, there are the building blocks of a good player there. In the playoffs, only 18 minutes, but 7-7, half a block, 42-90. There's some real value, I think, coming here from Bazley in terms of what he's able to do. He started 9 games this year, 26 minutes, 9-7 with a block on 40% and 88%. The free throw percentage is really encouraging to me in that starting role and the way it pushed into the bubble as some solid free throw numbers. I think that Bazley's going to get an opportunity to start next season, and I think that he probably will be a player that I'd be looking at towards the end of fantasy drafts. I think that his upside is interesting. It's a long way away from being realized. And overall, in best case scenario, I think he can be a top 50 player in 5 years' time. I think. Because I think he can hit threes at high volume. I think he can be a 17 point. Okay. It's high praise. I think he could be a Danilo Gallinari, a little bit lighter on in the scoring, but with blocks. Not going to be a high pass guy, going to have some field goal percentage issues, but hit threes, hit free throws, score pretty well, and block some shots. And that is a really valuable player. So I really like it. Out of him and Dort, Bazley is the guy that I do prefer out of those two young players on this team. MC Hamadou Diallo.
Stop. Hammer time.
Look, really bad numbers. Negative 3.09 PIPM, 49 true shooting. Opportunities for him to step up this season when Ferguson was injured and Robertson wasn't there. He could have started. He got injuries of his own, but let's be honest, he's just not that good. 28% from three, 7 points, 4 rebounds, 0.8 steals. He can get steals in bunches, but I thought this was an opportunity for him to step up, and Dort and Bazley have both jumped ahead of him. I don't think you want him running at the two very much. He's still very young, Diallo, but I am not overly confident in him ever being a useful enough player to really ever crack the top 200. Had some opportunities, failed to grasp them. I'm just a little bit down on where he goes from here. Abdul Nadir, really good player, solid player, but he's 27, and I just don't know how much further he pushes from here. 38% three-point shooter, loves attacking closeouts. He's 6 points per game, 47% shooting. The advanced stuff is really, really poor for Nadir as well, and I don't necessarily think that's getting better. Both he and Diallo have team options for next season, $1.6 and $1.7 million each. So there's a chance that they don't get brought back. I would imagine both of them do get brought back. Nadir just feels like a guy that's going to float around. He's going to have some moments that look, oh yeah, that's okay. But I don't really think there's ever going to be huge amounts of fantasy value in Abdul Nadir at this point. The next guy we talk about is Mike Muscala. Ranked player, negative 1.21 in PIPM. Muscala averaged 5 points in 12 minutes a game. Was getting minutes when Adams was hurt. Not someone you want to rely upon. He's 29 years of age. He does have a player option for next season, so he's going to be around. So maybe he is the backup center if they don't bring Noel back. But really no sort of upside fantasy-wise for Mike Muscala at this stage. Terrence Ferguson, is there a worse player in the NBA in terms of a fantasy guy? 393rd ranked player, 23 minutes a night, under 4 points. 36% shooting, 29% from three, doesn't get steals, negative 4.09 PIPM, 48 true shooting, negative 4.2 Raptor. He is just actually one of the worst players in the NBA. It doesn't help that the Oklahoma City system doesn't allow him to do anything, usage of 9%, but he's lost all confidence, and I don't think there's any hope for him ever becoming a top 200 or top 150 fantasy player, maybe top 200. He can be much better than he was this year because he can shoot the ball better than this, but I don't really know what to expect from Ferguson as we move forward. He's still only 22, so still really young, 3 years into his NBA career. But just as passive as it gets, doesn't generate defensive numbers, doesn't pass, doesn't rebound, just is one of those guys who is absolutely out there just filling in space. And filling in space, unfortunately, at this point, is not a fantasy category. Andre Robertson, unbelievably good to see him come back from that knee injury, which cost him almost 2 years. He played 7 games in the bubble, averaged 3 points in 12 minutes, and shot 28% from the field. His true shooting was 33. His Raptor was actually a positive. His POPM wasn't too bad as well. He's 29 years of age. The shooting, I don't think, is ever going to come around at this point, and he's never going to be a high-value fantasy contributor. Maybe he's a steal streamer, but nobody wants to go into a season hoping that Andre Robertson is their starter at this stage. Dort, I think, has got that role locked down. And Robertson will be lucky to get rotation minutes. Unfortunately, I think that knee injury might have just ruined his career. Deontay Burton, really bad advanced numbers. Negative 4.9 Raptor is horrendous. Under 40 true shooting. He's 27 as well. He only played 9 minutes a game across 39 games. Shot horribly. I don't really know what he's offering that's any sort of positive at all. Which feels harsh on the young fella, but... yeah, he's Robertson's a free agent as well, and Burton is also got a $1.7 million player option, team option. So I just don't see him sticking in the NBA past this season. Nothing that's exciting me there about Deontay Burton. Next up is Devin Hall, 25 years of age. He played 11 games for the Thunder. The shooting was horrible in the NBA, 20%. But what he did in the G League, he averaged 16 points with 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and shot 36% from 3 on 6 attempts. He's a shooting guard, small forward-ish type. Maybe there's a way for him to stick around and, you know, take some Terrence Ferguson minutes because he looks like he can actually shoot. But overall, you know, in terms of the D Halls that come out of the G League, I think you're looking at Dont'a Hall for the Nets as a better option than Devin Hall. The next player on this list, Kevin Hervey. I think Hervey is an interesting player. We didn't get huge amounts from him this past season. He was a second-round pick a couple of years ago, two-way guy this year. 5 minutes a game, 1.7 points. The advanced number's really hard to judge much from that. But in the G League, he averaged 12-7. He got over a steal. He got a block. He shot 7 threes a game. Now, he couldn't hit them, but he's willing to shoot them as a power forward. I think there's something for him. Maybe he's a Muscala replacement down the line here. I'm not completely writing Hervey off from being a rotation-level player. It's probably unlikely to happen, and it's probably a couple of years away from happening. But he's a name out of these, you know, Hall, Burton sort of group. I think Hervey is someone to at least, you know, remember the name. And the last guy is Isaiah Roby, who, yes, is on this team. He was a second-round pick of the Mavericks, was traded over here. Just, we didn't really see him on an NBA court at all. He played 3 games, 4 minutes a game, and failed to score a point. In the G League, he averages 8 points in 21 minutes. But what he does is block shots. 1.3 blocks with 1.2 steals. He averaged 6 rebounds in those 20 minutes, and he hit 40% from 3. There are building blocks there for Roby. In a few years' time, maybe he could develop into that Nerlens Noel-ish type player, a backup center, a backup power forward who can hit some threes. He's a player not to write off. Now, I mentioned I like Hervey more than Hall and Burton for these lower end guys. I think Roby's upside is actually the highest out of this group. He didn't have a great G League POPM while Hervey and Hall were both over 1. Roby was at just 0.22. But that's not to say that he can't be a useful enough player. He's someone I think to pay some attention to as we move forward in those very, very deep leagues. A player that I think can have some sort of an impact as a backup at some point in the NBA. That'll do it for the... don't know why that Cleveland thing's up there. That'll do it for the... looking at this this squad, this Oklahoma City Thunder team in the NBA. Don't forget, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Tomorrow we'll be doing the Denver Nuggets, so check them out. Answer the questions on over on Instagram and on Twitter. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.